All right, so we are in our three-part sub-series on healthy tree and good fruit. We talked last week about the fact that we are trees, and a tree drinks, and a healthy tree drinks a lot, and the purpose of a healthy fruit tree is to produce good fruits. So we want to talk about good fruit and what it means for us. Because the context here in the Sermon on the Mount is that there are spokespersons of God who purports to speak on God's behalf, and Jesus is saying, because there are many spokespersons that were perhaps in the crowd, including the Pharisees and other folks that are yet to come. And so you will know them. You will know people by their fruits. So we're gonna talk about good fruit. Now, I don't love good fruit. I mean, I don't love fruits in general. I don't, I'm not like, oh my gosh, fruit. But I can think of other things to eat for dessert than fruit. But I love good fruit. I bemoan the fact that we don't have as many good fruits because of our modern society. I grew up when peaches were very fleshy, and it was, it was like tender and juicy. You would bite into a peach, especially like a big white peach, and the juices would be running down your mouth. Now, peaches are crispy, and they are not juicy. I mean, they can be sweet, but you don't have that fleshy bite. Tomatoes used to be tender, mushy, and it would just splatter everywhere. But now they're hard, and even tomatoes are somewhat crispy. And I think, a lot of that has to do with transportation, and so they breed for, to take all the tenderness out of the fruit. And so it's like, it's difficult, honestly, I think, in our society now to find fruits that are tender, because tender fruits don't transport well. But I want you to imagine, I don't know if all of you have grown up in this modern era with hard fruits, I hope you somehow get to taste the goodness of a very tender, juicy fruit. But when it says good fruit, because, one of the purposes of good fruit, the main purpose of a fruit is not for the tree. You hear what I'm saying? A fruit is for the propagation of its species, in the sense that it produces seeds that will produce, other trees. So it's for others. So if I'm a healthy fruit tree, my joy is in the enjoyment of others partaking of my fruit. So you'll begin to see that in the idea of a good fruit, that a spokesperson for Christ, in many ways, should embody the image of Christ, which is very other-centered. And that other people would want to emulate, thus finding their joy, actually. The joy of being a healthy tree is that it produces good fruit for others. So let's take a look at the verse again, Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So a prophet in Hebrew, I love this word because we hear it sometimes in modern media. The word for prophet is Navi. So if you play games, I guess the game of Zelda, they have a fairy named Navi. I don't know if you guys are gamers. And Avatar, the blue people are called a Navi, but they're prophets. But prophets, simply put, right, are spokespersons for God. And one of the qualification of a prophet is that they've been summoned to the throne of God. So notice that. They have been in God's presence. And so in order to speak on God's behalf, you've had to experience God. And so it's one thing to learn facts about God. It's another thing to experience God. And so it's very interesting that Jesus puts out, hey, you will know, you know, a false prophet by its fruit, in that it's not a fruit that you actually would enjoy and nourish you. Because a fruit on a healthy tree is not, you know, from the tree, if you will. It's from the soil and the air and the sunlight. You're just a tree that carries this fruit. And a false prophet isn't experiencing the nourishment of God. It isn't. And so therefore, you cannot have good fruit. And Jesus says that in his sermon. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Meaning, hey, if you're not a fruit tree, you're not going to produce fruit. And then if you're not a healthy fruit tree, you're not going to produce good fruit. And that's exactly what he says next. He says, so every healthy tree bears good fruit. So a healthy tree, meaning it's planted, it's taking the nutrients of the soil, which is the water from the soil, getting plenty of sunlight, the glory of God. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Like if you're planted in good soil and you're drinking lots of water, just goes to show you're going to produce good fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. He's reiterating this. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It won't make the cut. And we're going to talk about that in the next series when he's talking about those who purported to know Christ. Then he ends with, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So you will recognize a spokesperson for God by their fruits. And if you share your faith at home, not just morality, not your ethics, but whatever it is, if you are in Christ and you're not producing good fruit, Jesus is saying what? People are listening to this. And they're wondering, because a leader, a spokesperson for God, is not just his mouthpiece. It's also, they are also representatives. And so the idea that they will know you by their fruit is actually very controversial. And he later on expounds on what that, in a series of his talks, he further expounds on that. Matthew 19:16. This is about the rich young ruler. And this is a roundabout way, because God here is defining good. So it's not that you're just a fruit, but that you're a good fruit. But we got to begin to define what a good is. And Jesus does that in Matthew 19 when he's talking about the rich young ruler's story. And this is what he says. And behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. So now, the rich young ruler is now, okay, all right, am I amongst the one? There's only one, or in one kind. is the implication that is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. So the idea, oh, he's a good person. I hear that quite often, right? Oh, he's a good guy. He's a good person. He's a good man. He's a good woman, right? You know, and we say that, and we kind of, in some sense, water down good. Great? We like to say great, because if somebody say, oh, he's good, you know, like if you're good at sports or something, oh, he's good. People are like, oh, okay, well, it's like saying, oh, he's decent. You know, it's like, eh, he's like so-so. You got to say, oh, he's great. But if you want to like, but that's even not enough now because people use great all the time. You know, he's awesome. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Like, I hear this all the time. People don't like good anymore. Well, I almost appreciate that people don't like good because Jesus is saying what is good is one who what? Obeys God's commandments. That's it. That's the definition of good. There's only one kind of good. And then he goes on and lists this good. He said to him, well, which ones? Which commandments? I've done them all, you know? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. Well, I haven't killed anybody. All right? He's now, you know, he's escalating this. You shall not commit adultery. I'm not even married, probably. You know, you shall not steal. I'm rich. I don't need to steal. All right. So, you know, you shall not bear false witness. And yeah, I'm kind of young. I'm not right now into that. It says honor your father and mother. Man, they like me fine. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is amazing because Jesus is introducing this, you know, to the rich young ruler because later on he's going to talk about this as being one of the great commandments, one of the two, loving your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And he gives you a prelude in this. And the rich young ruler goes, oh yeah, I've done that too. Now, in the way that he's defining loving your neighbor, everybody does that because we say, oh, he's a loving person. Just like we would throw out, he's a good guy, or a good gal, or, you know, whatever we want to say. Jesus has to give a new commandment to further clarify, well, new commandment I give you, that you shall love one another just as I have loved you. But if you look at what good is, right, Jesus begins to escalate this idea that good is not something that can come from an independent, natural self. He's not talking about loving your neighbor and you get to self-define that. Oh, I love my neighbor. See, the rich young ruler is defining that for himself and he thinks that that's relative. We begin to see Jesus when he begins to expound on this idea of loving your neighbor. He begins to introduce, no, 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 not the way you think about it, but in the way I think about it, just as I have loved you. Then he also says, oh, you got to bear each other's burdens. You know, you got to forgive them, you know, 70 times 7. So he's now expounding on this idea. Notice what he says. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. In his mind, he's good to go. Then he says, you know what? Bring it on. What do I still lack? Now Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect. Wow. He went from good deed. Now he's talking about the only good deed is a perfect deed. Notice that. And that word, as we talked about it in the Greek, also means mature. And we're going to see the way this is used, right? Teleos is the Greek meaning perfect. It says, be perfect. I am perfect, right? The idea that good must be perfect in that it is mature. Well, I want to tie that back to the fruit because a good fruit is a mature, ripened fruit. That means it has goodness. It's got the aroma of a ripened fruit. It is good in that other people want to eat it. Just because it's an apple doesn't mean that it's good. It must be a ripe apple. Because then nobody else wants to eat, right? An unripened apple. So Jesus goes there and he says, if you would be perfect, substituting perfect for good, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. What else? He's talking about this mature good, not when things are going well. He's talking about good when things are not so good. If that makes sense. Jesus is telling the rich young ruler, circumstantially, you've actually never been tested. And I'm telling you, I want you to obey these commandments actually when it matters. You know, when we were just singing today, right? And just, I just, being still before God and just, there's just a hunger sometimes when I praise, you know, God and I'm recalling, you know, just my confidence is this. That when it matters, and God knows that I'm in pain and that I need him, that if I turn to him, he's going to be there for me. My love for God, my deep, deep love for God, isn't born out of prosperity. It isn't born out of the good times. Not that God hasn't been good during the good times. It's born out of tragedy. When I grieve, when I'm in pain because of a loved one, you know, but God is there when I need him. When I'm what? Thirsty. That is what Jesus is saying. It's like you don't, you're immature. You're not mature yet. Come and let's go. Because your environment doesn't lend itself, so come and follow me, right? Because you're a rich young ruler, you know? You're insulated and isolated from having to learn what it means to be thirsty. Therefore, you don't understand the goodness of water. And you know what? There's nothing good as water when you are thirsty. Jesus isn't saying that as some kind of, oh, go pass the test. Jesus is saying, I want you to understand, you're a tree. And a tree drinks, and drinks a lot. When the heat beats down and everything is drying up, a tree is standing tall, drinking from a source you cannot see. Here's the, now, this idea of good and perfect equating, Jesus already prefaced this earlier in his Sermon on the Mount. Let's go back and refresh our memory. He says in Matthew 5:46, for if you love those who love you, notice this, right? He's talking about fruit and good fruits, and let's tie it together because he's not talking about natural fruit in the sense, you know, like just from ourselves. A tree itself cannot produce good fruit without good water and soil and the sun. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? So when other people, right, do you notice? Do you try to do you notice other people around you? Are your eyes open to the needs of people? Or do you just go straight to the beeline in a gathering to people that you're comfortable with? And Jesus is now, you know, already prefaced this by saying, and if you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You must have your eyes towards others, because that's what a fruit is. A fruit does not benefit the tree. It doesn't. But that's what a mature fruit does. The joy of the tree is that in the maturity and the ripeness of the fruit, that it is very giving. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. Your happiness formula changes. Because we go from me, you know, the best house that my money can buy, the best car, best this, best reputation, I got a lot of followers, you know, a lot of this. You're going from that formula to, oh, man, keep it coming, God. Keep that water pouring. Keep the sunlight beating. This is good stuff. Completely turning it around. That's what perfection is. Is it sometimes awkward? I would say it's most often awkward to be thoughtful of others, to approach people that you're not naturally gonna click with. It's awkward. But that's what perfection is. You're just thoughtful that way. You greet people, not only your brothers, you greet people that, you know, they might not even like you. Hedo talks about digging barrels. We had a good laugh over this. You know, he just keeps talking and talking, and, you know, they're not talking much, and he keeps talking, trying to find common ground. I love that about Mark, because he's trying to make people feel at home. Let them know this is a good place for you to be loved. And so goes out of his way to greet others. Luke 8:14. Okay? I love this. And as for what fell amongst the thorns, they are those, this is about a seed. Now, this is the parable of the sower. And so these seeds are just, it fell amongst thorns. And they are those who hear the word of God, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Let's just pause. Isn't that what Jesus was trying to tell the rich young ruler? Like, you're hearing what I'm saying, but you are a thorn bush. I'm going to sprinkle the seed, and it's not going to grow because the cares and the riches, you're isolated by the riches and the cares because you got lots of followers, literally. You know, rich young ruler has lots of followers, you know what I'm saying? You know, we try to mimic that in social media, but anyways, nobody's laughing. Okay. And their fruit does not what? Mature. Their fruit will never be perfect. Same word, actually. Same Greek word as perfect. The cares of this life, if you find that you're constantly envying other people, cares of this life. Cares. You want what other people have when you got the word? Cares of this life. And you will never have fruits. When you spend most of your time thinking about you, yes, it's awkward and unnatural to think about others and doing things for others. But the point is, the gravity of yourself is why you can't escape the orbit of yourself. It just sucks you down, and that's what it means. The thorn bushes, it just keeps that fruit from maturing. Fruit does not perfect. It doesn't. Not in thorns. Not if you care a lot about what other people think. And not just, you can't escape the fact that you care about what other people think. It's that you are actually ruled by it. You will never be a happy person. Jesus is trying to convince you the only happiness is actually producing good fruit that other people enjoy. As for that in the good soil, they are those in who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. The one thing you'll find a good soil is that people are honest.
they're authentic. They don't mind sharing, you know. The idea of being in a growth group is, hey, look, I just want to be honest with you. This is my struggle. This is where I'm, you know. But I want to hold fast. I don't want the cares of this life. I want to be caught. I want to be exposed. I want to be honest. And I want to obey. I want to travel the way, God's way. Yes, it's narrow, but that's good. If we know that, and in our hearts, we want to now travel that, you can have a lot of reasons. And I hear this a lot. Well, I don't know. You know, you're saying, oh, well, God says you can't do it. Well, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's like, you don't know what? That God said that? Or you don't, I mean, you don't, what do you mean you don't know? Is it you don't want to know or you don't know? Point is, we're only hurting ourselves if we don't want to be a good fruit tree. I will tell you this. It's not obvious that we don't produce good fruits because we're just not that encouraging. And you know who knows that better than anybody? Your own family. Sometimes I listen to what my children and what my wife say, and sometimes I say, wow, I'm kind of sticking up the joint. I'm not being honest with myself. And who better to tell me that this fruit doesn't carry the smell that it should, but it's kind of like, eh, you know, I can leave it. Here, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and what? Bear faith, bear fruit with patience. Jesus throws in the idea of patience because, you know what? It is so easy in today's society to say, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to turn on the internet, go to my phone, you know, escape having to just stay buried. I have no patience when I actually grass my seed my grass. You have to go out there every day to water, like a couple times a day. Then you have to kind of sprinkle dirt on top of it so the water that you did water just doesn't, you know, like, you know, it doesn't dry up. Man, you have to be out there every day for several days. And I don't have any patience. I mean, I just get more bags of seed. That's what I do. Ah, it didn't take, so I'm just going to get more bags, you know? The idea that I have to, like, get topsoil and kind of sprinkle it over and then keep watering and watering. Maybe it's not good soil, you know? Like, I can't be bothered with that. I just like to throw the seed. I'm just throwing it in the thorn, you know, the thorny area in the sense I'm just not watering it enough. Look, you know how much water it takes for seeds to germinate? A lot. A lot. And it must stay hydrated for it to germinate. It must be buried. That's why you have a little layer of topsoil so that, or they sometimes give you that blue-green stuff that you put over it, but it must be covered and buried. And that's exactly what Jesus says in John 12, 24. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, when it says dies means buried, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Because a seed that has a layer of soil on top, right, and is hydrated, it just germinates better. And then it begins to sprout right through the soil. Do you know how many seeds it takes for that little something to just step on it, get a little buried, right? You know, because a lot of the seeds, I forgot who it was that I was talking to. I think, I don't know if it was Mark or Aaron or somebody says, yeah, you can, I was thinking about like seeding my front lawn, you know, with like, I don't want to get the sod because it's kind of expensive because I just want to spread the seeds. And you know, Aaron was like, I think one of the guys, I'm not sure if it was Aaron, I don't want to give all credit to Aaron because he got enough credit from Robert, but he said, well, the birds are going to come and eat up all your seeds. And then you're going to keep throwing seeds and the birds are going to keep... And I was like, well, that's just so biblical, right? But it's got to be you know, you got to take time, you know, to kind of bury it, you know, so the birds can't see it, and then you got to water it, and it's a lot of work, honestly. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get the sod, you know what I mean? And so whoever loves his life loses it. Sometimes you just have to bury your old self, your old passions, your old ideas of what you think. If it's like me-centered, it's not going to make you happy. It won't last long. It's like candy. It's for, you know what I mean? If it's like me-focused, trust me when I say this, right? I've been around. I've been, you know, chasing after the wind for a long time, right? Good part of my 20s was just chasing after the wind. And I can tell you, honestly say, if it's about you, you can win in that argument, you know? You know, you can be right, proof, egg in your face, you know? Like, you're finding ways, like, me. It's not. If you can't lose that orientation, then you're never going to find life. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world, right, will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. We have to follow in the way of Christ, which is the narrow way. 1 Corinthians 15:35 says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. I try to produce fruit. Like, I want fruit. Like, I want a good grade without studying. I want good fruit without having died. I was like the epitome of the bad student, but so covetous of good grades. I wanted good grades without having to study that hard. I would almost brag that I got a good grade. I would love to hear my friends say, oh, Henry got good grade, but when does he ever study? He never takes notes, you know. It's like, in the Christian life, it doesn't work that way. There's no workaround to this. You don't study and get good grades, and, you know, and produce fruits. You know what I mean? You can't cheat your way around this. So there's only one way. The seed's got to be buried. That's why we have Easter. That's why we have baptism. We want to say, okay, you've been buried, Good Friday, and you've been resurrected, Easter. You know, and baptism is like, you got to die to your old passions, to your old self, so that your new identity and a new source of happiness can arise. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, right? A seed does not stay a seed. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. All our sins buried with Christ. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. We're talking about something supernatural. Jesus, in a very similar sermon, some say it was actually, you know, like, you know, another take on the Sermon on the Mount. But let's read. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So if you have actually, like, one of the things about being in counseling and listening to how people have conflict, conflict usually deals with counterattacking and withdrawing. Things that are antithesis to connection. And so you begin to notice how people talk to each other, and you begin to almost notice when people are going to get divorces. Just by listening to how people talk. You can know that with probably in a minute. Just sitting at a restaurant, you can just kind of almost tell, and you begin to hear those kinds of conversation, and it breaks your heart. But boy, does our tongue give us away. You know? When was the last time you were really encouraging to anybody? You know? When was the last time you built somebody up? You know? How are things going at home? It's like, how are you being a good fruit? Do people want to have conversations with you? And this is really, really difficult. It's like, oh, I just haven't, I don't know, I don't produce good fruit. I complain a lot. You know, but I don't know if I really, you know. And I don't know if you notice that it impacts the people around you. Because out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? And this idea of what's coming out of your mouth is our speech. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads us the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. By our mouth we spread the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to other a fragrance from life to life. Not everybody's going to love what you have to say, but for those who have ears to hear, they're going to know that what you're speaking also is not from you, that it has a certain aroma. There's a certain love to it. You know? They know when you're injured and you're being forgiving. They know that you are humble in your speech, even though you don't have to be. They know the subtleties of gentleness. There is a difference between being nice and being kind. They know people who are genuinely trying to be thoughtful. That is the aroma. That is the aroma of life. Things that are coming out of our mouth, but you can't bring that out if you are dying on the inside. Let's summarize. All believers produce good fruit that matures to perfection for the benefit of others by the Spirit of God. Look, there's a reason why the fruit of the Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit, because it is supernatural. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, right? Peace. Jesus is already, we've already talked about, it's not the peace world gives you. It doesn't depend on circumstance. It goes beyond, he's a nice person. If people think you're nice, that's not good fruit. If somebody says, this person is there for me, right? When nobody else is, that's good fruit. I'm saying fruit is about thoughtfulness. You don't react to your circumstances. A fruit of the Spirit, good fruit, responds in accordance with God's word by the help of the Holy Spirit. And in the way we react or respond in times of difficulty, that's who we are. That's where fruit happens. So, let's reread. All believers produce good fruit that matures to perfection for the benefit of others by the Spirit of God. Good fruit only comes from good soil, which is the obedience to the Word of God. Dying to the old self. Seed must be buried. You have to give up the ways of the old ways. The one who speaks for God carries the aroma of Christ. Or not. But that is the... And here's the thing. We're not always the best judge of this. You know who it is? People that are closest to you. Hey, am I encouraging? Am I, you know, loving? Or am I always folding like deck chairs anytime a storm comes? Anytime something, you know, like, do you run to others? Do you seek help? Because seeking help is not weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign that, hey, I want to be a good fruit and I want to continue to drink because the storm is coming And I just want to make sure, because the difference between fellowship, right, and worldly fellowship and Christian fellowship is that, look, when I have fellowship with another brother, when I have fellowship with my wife or my children, it's just always with God. A fruit is not the product of the tree. It's the product of the soil. Do you understand? Product of what words you have been drinking. Product of the glory that comes from the Son. And if it's not good, it's because the roots aren't down yet. You know, and maybe it's self-sufficiency. But the idea is, hey, we have an aroma. And it's either stinking up the joint, or maybe it's just bland. But it isn't the fragrance that is just a true pleasure for God. But that's where we are headed. And next week we're going to talk about how God helps us to get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just our time together. Pray for your words, these verses, God, these thoughts, God, that would carry weight, God, as it hits good, fertile soil. God, I pray for good soil, God. I pray for roots to go deep. I pray for a healthy tree, and only you can do that. So, God, we look to you today, and we look to you as in the days to come this week. In Jesus' name, amen.